I call a regular meeting of the Oceana Community Service District for Wednesday, May 24th, 2017, to order.
June 14th.
Oh. Let's try that again. The meeting is Wednesday, June 14th. I was reading the minutes. And could we please have the roll call?
Director Benet. Director Angelo.
Here.
Director Colwell.
Here.
Vice President Austin.
Here.
President White.
Here. Can we please stand for the flag salute?
Go back further. Stop. There.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Agenda review. We see any changes, omissions, additions?
Staff has no recommended changes.
Board?
No.
No.
Could I have a motion, please?
Okay, I'd like to move that we approve the agenda as presented for tonight's meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Carries 4-0 with one absent. Closed session. I believe there was no closed session tonight. Move on for public comment for items not on the agenda. And seeing no one come forward, I move to item 7, special presentations and reports. Staff reports, operations. Mr. Maraschino, please.
Good evening, board. Tony Maraschino. All right. Lopez is currently at 61.4% full, which is 30,347 acre feet. We had no SSOs for the month of May. Zero state water delivered to us. Lopez has delivered 197 acre feet year to date, and we have pumped less than 1 acre foot of water due to sampling. All right, we had 12 work orders, 15 USAs, 9 customer service calls. We had 2 after-hour call-outs. One was for a hydrant that got hit on 21st and Warner. A full-size truck hit an SUV, kept going and hit a second vehicle and pushed it into a hydrant. It was Saturday morning. The second call-out was we had a power failure. I want to say it was Monday. It was a holiday. And it covered quite a bit of Oceano. It kind of blipped for a little bit. And from our yard to lift station to well 8, everything kind of went into alarms for a little bit. And the on-call operator took care of everything. We installed 2 cleanouts over there on 23rd and Ocean Street. We're really concentrating on sewer jetting currently. I'll get the mileage for you next go-round where we're at year-to-date. We're required 15 miles a year per our SSMP, and I'll update the mileage with you next time we meet. We had some tree branches in the alleyway that we had to clear out for fire, for access. Sent Jason to a sample class, just kind of continuing education, see if there's anything new. More trash postings. And then we've been staying on top of the trash on pier, especially after big weekends, calling in another group agency to basically go around and pick up the trash that's kind of floating around all over Pier Street after the big weekends and bagging it and a little bit more attention to detail and trying to keep that area clean. Any questions?
No, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes. I could provide a short... Oh, I'll just do it with my regular reports when I cover the fire. So we can move on. General Manager, Mr. Overin.
Madam President, members of the board, just a couple of items. As Tony mentioned, Memorial Day weekend, we had an independent contractor help us with cleanup, since after the big weekends, we see a little bit of trash around town. And that was Norum Builders, and so they're on call for us, and it was relatively inexpensive. I think they came out on maybe Wednesday morning, and so we're working with them that they'll come out, you know, sooner on the big weekends. We just received a refund from the county for $109,000, which is the deposit that we provided to them for our utility relocations associated with the Highway 1 and 13th Street drainage project. And we got the refund because the county will be going to the Board of Supervisors in July to reject all bids. The bids came in at about $1.5 million over their engineer's estimate of about just over $2 million. And further discussion on that, they're sending out some grant applications tomorrow in order to try to cover that shortfall. When they get the grants, then they anticipate that they're hoping they'd be back out to bid later this calendar year. And as previously reported to your board, we'll be looking to move forward with doing our utility relocation independent from the county in advance of the work. But again, we received our refund of $109,000 this week. Third item is we received notification that the Rural Counties Association of California, I think that's the acronym, RCAC, has been authorized by the State Water Board to do an income survey in Oceano. We knew that that was in the works, but they had to get formal authorization. And the purpose of the income survey is that based on the 2016 numbers from the State Department of, I think it's Department of Finance, Oceano is now $267 over the disadvantaged income threshold.
$267?
Yeah, $267 over. And that's with a plus or minus of around $3,000. But if you're a dollar over, in order to maintain the disadvantaged income classification, and the importance is the availability of some additional funding. What the State Water Board then does is, for when it's a close call, then they'll fund somebody to come in and do a community income survey in order to do a more refined analysis. And so RCAC is going to be doing that work, funded by the State Water Board, and we got the notification today that the formal approvals have come through. So that will be initiated in the next couple weeks. And then lastly, handed out a flyer for the July 27, 2017 Local Special Districts Association meeting, where the keynote speakers are going to be Assemblyman Jordan Cunningham to provide a legislative update, and then First District Supervisor John Pichon. The meeting is going to be up in Paso, and this is simply a reminder to all board members that we need to get your feedback in the next by about Wednesday of next week, because if you want to attend, then we need to have it on the next agenda. To it's $10 per person, and we've got a couple of responses, but again, want to get the rest of the board responses as to whether you want to attend or not. And that wraps up my general manager report.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Okay.
What kind of methodology do they use on this income survey?
That the one that indicates that our Oceano's per medium household income is $267 higher than the disadvantage.
Yeah.
I'm not aware of how they approach the computations. I think it's fair that it's based on some very broad analysis. So, for example, I do know that, well, next meeting we're going to have on the agenda the Prop 4 appropriations limit resolution to adopt that for next fiscal year. It's a standard annual requirement. And what the state publishes there is the increases in per capita income in the unincorporated area of San Luis Obispo County. Mm-hmm. So within the cities, they actually, you know, publish changes in per capita income and changes in population estimates on a city-by-city basis. But in the unincorporated area, they blanket for all of the unincorporated areas. And that might be the data then that they use in order to update their MHI estimates. So then they fund the supplemental studies so that you drill down into the specific unincorporated area. My presumption is it's very generalized data that they're utilizing, and so that's why the income survey is going to get more Oceano specific.
Yeah, well, I was just, we kind of have a hidden population that's hard to reach and low of income. You know what I'm trying to say? That there's.
Yeah, and in talking with RCAC about their approach, I can't remember the exact percentages, but when they send out income surveys, they don't need to get all of them back. They can work on a very limited number of responses through a statistical evaluation. So I can certainly report back to your board a little bit more about their methodology.
But well, I just want to be reassured that it's fair.
As you know, might imagine, these income surveys are somewhat of a challenge.
Yeah,
So
I'm sure they would be. Yeah, thank you. Okay, moving on to Board of Directors and Outside Committee reports.
I don't have anything.
Mr. Coldwell?
I did attend the Water Resources Advisory Committee meeting in San Luis Obispo 1 week ago. And without going into a lot of detail, there was one item that was of particular interest, at least to me and maybe to others. The Board of Supervisors has now set a budget of $2 million per year, probably for the next 3 years, we don't know for sure, in order to cover the costs of organizing and maintaining the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act for the various communities in the county of San Luis Obispo who do not have such agencies such as our own. $1,250,000 of that $2 million is going to come from the county general funds. The $750,000 balance is going to be taken from the flood control district. And then about $600,000 of that $750,000 from the flood organization is coming from the resiliency fund in the years ending in 2018 and 2019. So there are ways down the road. And as I understand it, the resiliency fund is primarily monies in the flood control district for various projects, regional projects, grants, and although they don't know specifically what grants or projects may be removed or receive less funding, they anticipate they'll be able to get the $650,000 from that resiliency fund. Anyway, that's how they're going to fund the management of the Groundwater Sustainability Administration. I did ask the representative from the county, Courtney, whether there would be any ending to this funding by the county, and she was appropriately vague and uncertain about whether there would be any end in sight. So that's where we're at.
Questions? No. Would that be the money that could be used to repair the overflow at Lopez Lake, which I see in the newspaper is being questioned, the spillway?
any of the general property tax revenues of the flood control district could be utilized for repairs if needed at the spillway. But that would be inconsistent with county policy, not that county policy hasn't changed recently. The beneficiaries of the Lopez system are the ones who would normally be expected to pay for those repairs. And so I think that we should anticipate seeing that as a budgetary issue in Zone 3 at some time in the foreseeable future. One of the things that Zone 3 might do is reprioritize some of their capital improvement efforts in order to fund. But my understanding right now is that first they need to do an evaluation of the spillway, and then if any work is necessary, then that will come forward. I wouldn't be surprised if part of DSOD is looking at spillways all over the state due to the failures at Oroville.
Yeah.
And I do know that when we did the Lopez seismic remediation project, that we did spillway repairs at that point in time, and we did a pretty, when I was with the county, did a pretty extensive evaluation of the stability of the spillway at that time. So there's some reason to believe that we should be in pretty good shape. Subsequent to the rebuild of Lopez Dam, there have been some problems with the drainage system, and so it could also be that combination of Oroville with some problems in the Lopez drainage system causes DSOD to want to take another look at it. But I think it would be really premature to say that there's any physical capital work that really needs to be done at the spillway. But right now they need to take a look at it and do some evaluations.
Okay, I just wondered if it was the same pot of money.
Yeah, quite. Most likely we would be paying 6.69% of whatever repairs at Lopez would be necessary.
Okay, thank you. Moving on, Vice President Austin?
Yes, I attended last Wednesday's Sanitation District meeting, and we had a very full agenda. I'll just talk about the major projects that we've approved. We had on the agenda to proceed with the consultants for the design and construction of the wastewater redundancy project, and that was made possible because of there was a unanimous vote on May 10th of the Coastal Commission granting us a 30-year coastal development permit, so which that was very good news because we were expecting a 10-year, we thought we would get 10 years, and they were able to give us 30 years, so that was very, very good job by our administrator and our president of the board that they went to the meeting and spoke for us. So then the next step, now that we have the permit, is to move forward with the consultants and with the final design. So we voted to do that, to proceed there. And then the other big thing we did was we agreed to a memorandum of agreement with the city of Pismo Beach to share the cost of environmental impact report to support the regional groundwater sustainability project, which I talked about. It was back in 2015 we received a $75,000 grant from the State Water Resources Control Board for a study to see the feasibility of a wastewater recycling project. So the study was completed and it's been submitted, so now the next step is the environmental impact report. And so something that the sanitation district, we went partnered with Roy Grandy for the study, and now for the environmental impact report we're going to partner with the city of Pismo Beach, which is really makes sense because everything will be 50-50 and we have to do it anyway, so it's going to really help us to partner up with Pismo Beach on that. So those were the two big things we did. We went over our budget, our draft budget for the fiscal year 17-18, and it'll be coming back at our next meeting. And all our other projects are moving along. Everything's moving along. Let's see. We're purchasing equipment and things to keep the plant running, and So everything's moving along nicely over at the plant. Thank you.
And if I might interject, the MOU between the Sanitation District and the City of Pismo Beach is a direct result of your board's advocacy platform to really make sure that the recycled water project, reclaimed water, is well coordinated between the two wastewater entities.
Thank you. Thank you. I attended Five Cities Fire Authority, and we'll start with tomorrow. The Five Cities Fire Authority at 10 a.m. will have our annual weed abatement protest hearing and issuance of abatement orders. People had until May 26th to clean weeds and debris in their yards in the yearly effort that we make to keep fire from spreading. And I'm holding in my hand a list of 20 different properties in Oceano that are on the list, and only two of the 20 represent homes where people in Oceano live. There's Parker and Fresno and Bakersfield and Highland Ranch and Grass Valley and Del Rio and Gilroy, and only two of these are owner residences within our area. The rest of them are all from out of town. So they still have some time, but if the weeds aren't abated, subsequently to July 21st, we'll have another hearing just before July 21st, and the weeds will be abated, and the cost will be put on the property tax bills of the property owners. And also, at the last meeting, we approved the initial list and also considered our budget, which for Oceano represents a 3.7% increase that we'd already sort of accommodated in our two-year budget. And also, there's a report. This is just as of May 25th, but our calls are increasing again this year. And Saturday night we had another structure fire in Arroyo Grande. I don't have the cause. It could possibly be a gas in-place fireplace. It's really just a gas heater built to be like a fireplace, and that could be the cause of that fire. Just FYI, people need to check those kind of things in their homes. It was either that or it was electrical. It was kind of an accidental fire. So, and that's kind of the report, unless somebody has questions about fire stuff. Moving on, if I can find the... I've got too much paperwork tonight. Back to my agenda. I now need to call for public comment on special presentations and reports. Seeing no one come forward, we'll move on to the consent agenda. And again, I'll call for public comment. But obviously, there's no one here at this time to speak, so we'll move on to consent agenda.
I don't have any questions on the consent agenda.
So I'm happy to see that.
Good to me.
I'm happy to see that some older homes on Strand Way are being, I guess, torn down and rebuilt.
Yep.
Yeah.
A motion?
Well, I'll move we approve the consent agenda items as listed and submitted.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 4-0 with one member absent. Moving on to business items.
Madam President, my recommendation would, because our staff presentations will not substantially differ from the written staff reports, and considering we don't have very many members of the public today, that you would take public comment on all of the business items up front.
Thank you. I will. Call for public comment on items 9A, B, C, and D. Again, seeing no one come forward, we'll move on to item 9A, consideration of a recommendation to approve a single day use permit for use of the district facilities on July 6th for the California Rural Water Association.
So, Madam President, members of the board, normally this would be a consent agenda item, but due to the timing, we told the California Rural Water Association that it was okay for them to go ahead and advertise the event, in part because they've part of the State Water Board's funds for technical assistance for Oceano. CRWA came in and have done some leak detection work for us at no charge, so staff really felt like we needed to support them for their single day request, which is to provide free training for local agency staff on leak detection. So in the event that your board's not inclined, then we would inform them and they would send out a notice that says the meeting's canceled. But we hope that your board will approve this item, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
I was glad to see them using the facilities. I think it's a feather in our cap.
Yeah.
That they want to be here. They do want to give free education. It's a win-win.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes.
Agree.
And we have such a nice facility with lots of easy parking.
We like to show off our ocean stuff.
Yep. And they're looking at 40 attendees, and we laid out tables and know we can accommodate it. So I think it'll be a good event.
So I'll make a motion that we approve agenda item 9A.
Second.
For a single day use permit for the facilities for the CRWA on July 6th.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries 4-0, one absent. Moving on to 9B. Review and discussion of the annual energy report for provided by the County of San Luis Obispo Energy Watch Program.
I think this report should be in lights all over the town. It's really terrific, over a 60% decrease in energy usage. It's fantastic.
And Ms. Casciola will provide our staff discussion.
So, President White, members of the board, Tony and I sat down with the Energy Watch team last week to review the annual energy report. The report highlighted our electricity use and energy use at the Front Street buildings, up at the yard and at the wells, and also our lift station on Pure Avenue. The district saw significant decreases in our usage. The major savings was from 14 to 16. The major reason was because we heavily relied on state water during that time, and our pumping cost there would be in an invoice from the county, not our PG&E bills, is what they used to create this report. So that's the major reason there's such a big difference. But overall, the district continues to benefit from the items they've recommended us to replace, because in 14 and 15, we also met with them, and they gave us recommendations on how to be more efficient by replacing items and retrofitting other items. These recommendations can be seen in our energy savings recommendation summary we provided. So we went back to see which items had been replaced to help contribute to these savings. And for the wells and our booster pumps and also our HVAC system, they recommended for us to continue to monitor and keep up with maintenance and replace once we received or had funds to replace these items. So as you know, the HVAC system was recently replaced. You guys approved it in our quarter three budget update. And then well 5 was replaced in 2015. It was rehabilitated and the bowls were replaced. Those two items were... We found funds to replace those.
Well 8.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. Well 8. Sorry about that. So even with those recommendations, we went in to look further recently when we were looking at the generator at invoices from PG&E, and we noticed that one of our generators were being warmed over there, so that was another savings we'll see in the next bill to come because we were able to unhook that because there was no reason for that to be warming, so we'll see savings there as well. So they help us identify different areas to pay attention to, also to maintain regular maintenance on. So then the next item was the pier lift station. This was evaluated, and the conclusion was for us to work with PG&E on replacing the VFDs, which is the variable frequency drive. We had the lift station reevaluated with the Energy Watch team and to see if we qualified for any incentives to actually go ahead and move forward with that. And we actually came to the conclusion that it would be best for us to wait to be able to either move that lift station in its entirety or completely redo it than just upgrade it now and have to do it later again. So they also evaluated the lighting in this building, the fire and the sheriff, along with the up at the yard. And their recommendation was to install LED lighting, which we went forward with in this building and all the front street. But we didn't do it at the yard because we wanted to defer that as we are looking into upgrade the yard as a complete whole instead of, just like the lift station, redoing it and then redoing it again once we upgrade that. So the recommendation in the office was also for the computers here and up at the yard was just to put them in sleep mode and replace them as needed. And as of 2017, we've replaced two computers so far. So as you can see, we're taking into consideration all the hard work the Energy Watch team does for us. And they do it free of cost, which is great. And so we will have another report next year, and hopefully we'll continue to save with all the recommendations. So if you have any questions.
Thank you. Does Energy Watch do anything for the general public or just for entities?
They are funded through PG&E, and it's through the county for public agencies, as far as I know.
Clearly work with them on the public. I do think that they do have some public programs that they're working on, although I'm not certain. Some of the solar programs, I think that they help to promote as well. I don't know the status, but the county was thinking about providing some underlying financing for people who convert to solar. And I don't know what happened there, but the Energy Watch team would have been involved in that. So we're, you know, obviously we're focused on what are they going to do for the community services districts.
Yeah.
And so there's a couple of things that Carrie mentioned that I wanted to emphasize. One is first our appreciation for the Energy Watch team. They've been really, really good to work with. They indicated to us that we're the best community services district for them to work with. I think the idea is that we're the single one who's had a net overall energy savings from calendar year 2014 to calendar year 2016. Good job there. With respect to the energy reductions for well number 8, as Carrie had mentioned, that's because we're not pumping groundwater as much as we had been doing in prior years. And on that point, I want to remind the board that when we budget for our water, we fully budget state water as if we're going to take our entire state water deliveries. Therefore, if we start pumping and we see that electricity bill come up, it could even come up greater than what we have budgeted, but then we'll have savings on the state water side. So we didn't want to fully budget assuming we were going to pump and fully budget assuming we're going to take in all state water. And because state water is the more expensive resource, you know, we fully budget that. But if we have to convert to pumping, then the electricity cost might go up, but we'll have more than that amount of savings on state water. Obviously, when it comes to, you know, big picture energy costs, it still takes energy to move water from Sacramento area to Oceano. But what's amazing is that it doesn't take that much more than pumping groundwater, because even though you're conveying it hundreds of miles, if it's flat, it really, you know, that doesn't take a lot of energy. It's just getting it up and over the coastal range is where a lot of the energy is at, and versus pumping groundwater. So groundwater is still less expensive, but, you know, some type of a, you know, you would think that moving water 300 miles would be super expensive, but again, it's really only the vertical changes that you're dealing with, not the horizontal distance. So again, the Kenai Energy Watch team has been great to work with. And because of their efforts, also as Carrie mentioned, it's caused us to do some additional calculations. And in concert with leak detection, where we're trying to compare what's the cost of pumping versus the cost of, you know, having state water delivered, we started matching up our utility bills with the pumping. And that's where at well number 8, we saw, why are we still getting, you know, $300 a month utility bills? And so we looked at it, and that's where it was found out that that old generator was still drawing energy in order to keep the generator warm, and so that got shut off, and we'll save another couple $100. So there's direct benefits of the County Watch team, and then there's the indirect benefits of, you know, pointing to things that we should be monitoring on an ongoing basis. And Carrie and Tony have been, and Nicole have been doing all the work. So the Energy Watch team and our own CSD Energy Watch team.
Yes.
Thank you. Anything else, Board? Okay. Move on to 9C. Consideration of a recommendation to receive and file a report on changes, charges, and delinquencies, and to set a public hearing for July 12, 2017 to authorize collection of the 2017-2018 property tax bills.
President White, members of the Board, we are recommending to set a hearing for July 12th to authorize the collection of delinquent bills through the 2017-18 property taxes. This is the normal annual process that is covered in Government Code 6115. The county auditor has provided us with the tax roll timeline that is attached. We have prepared the letters notifying the customers of their outstanding balance with the district, and we have done the same for the customers who have not paid their trash bill on behalf of South County Sanitary. Amber of South County Sanitary, who we hold the franchise agreement with for trash, provided us with the list of residents in Oceano who hadn't paid their trash bills. Examples of both of the letters that went out to the customers are also attached in the agenda item. The district has collected our delinquent bills through the tax roll for the past 6 years. State law allows for the district to place them on customers' tax rolls. A notice for the hearing on July 12th will be published in the Tribune two times, once on June 28th and the other on July 5th. The last day before we turn our list over to the county will be July 14th, and we will come back to you in the second meeting July with a resolution confirming the charges to be submitted to the county. And that is the timeline.
And good job, Carrie. My only additive comment is we do have one unique item on the list this year, and that relates to a property owner who we have a court judgment against. And so as an other charge, we'll be seeking collection on the property tax bill from that individual as well.
On the garbage bill, I believe one person listed here might have just died, and I don't know whether maybe I can contact his family. And
certainly. So our recommendation would be to adopt the list as presented. Since the hearings in July, the list will ultimately change for those who make payment, as well as other circumstances that would warrant a modification to it. But at least right now, that's sort of the tentative list, and so we've sent notices to all of them and would recommend we keep that list as is.
Oh, yeah.
Follow up with you and others.
Yeah.
So So we just receive and file this one?
No, it's approval of staff recommendations, which sets the public hearing and recognizes the list that will be noticed. It's somewhat similar to the weed abatement process that Five Cities Fire is following.
So I'd like to make a motion that we recommend to approve staff's recommendation and set a public hearing for July 12th to authorize collection of the water bills on the past due, collection on the property tax bills for the past due water and sanitation district bills.
I'd second that.
Moving and seconded, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 4-0 with one absent. Moving on to item 9D, approval of recommendation authorizing the president to execute a resolution establishing a CalPERS supplemental income 457 plan and termination of the nationwide retirement services 457 plan.
Madam President, members of the board, the recommended action would not does not reflect a new employee benefit. There is an existing 457 plan, and a lot of people are more familiar with the 401k plans that employees can use in order to get some pre-tax benefit and contribute them into a self-funded retirement benefit. I did a little bit of comparison in the staff report between defined benefit plans and defined contribution plans, and that's important because in the normal pension plans that everybody talks about, CalPERS manages all the investments, but in defined contribution plans like 401ks, the employees are the ones who select their investment options. The other point on the district's 457 plan is that there is no district match. Any of the money that goes in is employee contributions. Sometimes, especially on private employers will sometimes match an employee's contribution into a 401k plan. The district does not provide a match, and there's no recommended changes there. So, you know, in essence, what it is, it's moving the 457 plan from Nationwide Retirement Services to the CalPERS. And that discussion was initiated because the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District had been meeting with CalPERS, and then we had a joint meeting that our staff attended as well. And from my observations, the CalPERS representatives did a very good job of coming out, meeting with staff, talking about how the program works. And in the 3 years that I've been with the district, we haven't heard from Nationwide Retirement Services, and, you know, not once. The online services and the ability to look at account information with CalPERS, we already have that for our basic pension plans, and so those similar types of online access to our information would exist for this as well. So there's some administrative niceties, I guess. But as you'll note, the recommendation is subject to no objections from SEIU, our local union, because the real significant issue here is that the employees make the investment decisions. And so if the employees were to say, we like the investment options at Nationwide Retirement Services better than the investment options at CalPERS, then we need to hear that from the employees, because as the employer, we do not want to make any investment advice, you know, whatsoever. We don't want to tell them that the CalPERS investments are better than the Nationwide Retirement Services investments. It's their investment decisions, and it's important that they look at that independent from anything that we might say here at the district level. So we've provided the information to the union representative, and they're going to be meeting with the employees. And again, it's, you know, if we don't receive any objection from it, then the board president is authorized to work with us in order to make the changes happen. But I'd be glad to answer any questions.
I think it's a terrific benefit for the employees. They can choose to do it or not. It's their money. They get to, in effect, determine where it's invested. And what a terrific supplement to retirement. I think it's, again, a win-win.
Yep. Certainly would support it if that's what they want to do. Yeah. Do I hear a motion?
Well, I'll make a motion that we approve the recommendations authorizing our terrific president to execute the necessary documents for the adjustments in the 457 plan.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Madam President,
resolution.
As a resolution,
excuse
requires
me.
A roll call vote.
Roll call vote.
Director Benet. Director Angelo.
Yes.
Director Colwell.
Yes.
Vice President Austin.
Yes.
President White.
Yes. Oh, and I knew that. Okay, that would be the last of the business items. Do we have any written communications, late communications?
I do have one that I'm going to verbally report on, although I did not bring copies of it, and that is that earlier in this week we received a notification from the State Water Board that we had failed to submit an application for a general permit under the NPDES, which is the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, for stormwater systems. So we called the State Water Board and said, but Oceano CSD doesn't have a stormwater system, and LAFCO has never authorized us to provide stormwater services. And Bill, and I forget Bill's last name, was very friendly, and he said, I had 2 days to take a list of a whole bunch of agencies and send out a whole bunch of letters, and once I got your phone call, because I called him and left a message, he goes, I looked into it, and we have correspondence recognizing that this does not apply to you. So I asked him, what do I need to do? And he says, well, you can just ignore it if you want. And I said, well, I think I'll send you a letter to paraphrase our discussion.
Yeah.
And he said, very good. So I wanted to make sure to mention that to your board. And
thank you for memorializing the conversation.
Yes.
Future agenda items?
They're listed. The one thing I wanted to mention, just real quickly, is on the district policies continued, because we did a pretty thorough review of bylaws and board and administration policies earlier in the year, and I had discussed with your board at that time that I was going to, you know, be picking up and doing some of the other work. So I have initiated work and specifically been looking at a number of the fiscal and investment policies, comparing what the government code says are obligations of community services districts and references to other government code sections. And as a quick note, the annual review of the fiscal investment policy, which was originally adopted in 1997, was reviewed the last time for calendar year ended 2013. The prior time was 2010. And the prior time to that, I'm not sure. So I also looked at the details of those resolutions, and we'll be working with legal counsel to update those items to bring it into conformity with the government code, and may be able to have that on the next agenda. It might not be till July, but have identified some work that we need to do in order to bring up some of the fiscal and investment action policies, which have to be adopted by a resolution, and bring them up into conformance with the government code section. So again, those I've reinitiated those work efforts, and the next thing that we should see is some of the items to conform to the government code.
As a future potential agenda item, I'd like to propose we look at Senate Bill 249, which is calling for different distribution and other items with respect to the off-road highway fund, which affects us here in Oceano. I don't know if we want to make this an agenda item or not.
So Director Colwell and I had a brief conversation before the meeting tonight. I printed out the current version of the bill. I can distribute it to all the board members. Talked with legal counsel, and so we're going to converse on it in the morning and also contact Assemblyman Cunningham. The first step is to evaluate the context of the bill and whether or not we think that there's, the effect with Oceano specifically. And then if there's the potential of providing comments that could provide benefits to Oceano, then what we could do is to schedule a special meeting because the timing of it would be pretty quick. It's already passed the Senate, I guess.
Jim, that's what I understand.
Yeah. So we're going to outreach to Assemblyman Cunningham tomorrow and see sort of where he stands on the bill, make sure we have a good understanding of the bill, and then make a determination of whether or not a special meeting might be warranted.
Great.
Sounds good.
Sounds okay.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me, too. Okay. Anything else?
Who's done first? I don't have anything.
I just want to thank our staff and Tony and Carrie and Pablo and everybody else for the great job.
Yeah.
That makes it very pleasant to come to our meetings, and they're just everything's great. I want to commend you all for doing such a great job.
Well, I appreciate it, and now I get to say I forgot something.
Oh. All right, one little
definitely allowable.
So as a future agenda item, we've been contacted by we have a 1979 revenue bond out there that we pay 5% interest on. It's only got a few more years to pay on it. But we've been contacted by the county and their bond advisor. So also at the next meeting, we'll have an agenda item to discuss potentially paying off the remainder of the bonds early. So in the agenda item, I'll address the availability of funds to do that. The current interest rate is 5%. You know, and we earn like a fraction of 1% in our savings account. So I've been able to confirm the process and the steps necessary to do that, and those will be on the next agenda.
It would be cheaper to borrow money to go pay it off.
Yeah. Other than what we call transaction costs, right? Because it's kind of like the points on a...
Oh, I know. Yeah. I was being facetious.
But the cost to redeem the bonds is $100. So...
Exorbitant.
I know.
Yes.
Out of control.
Do I hear a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Meeting adjourned.
Thanksgiving.